Yerushalmi, corresponding to Avodah Bavli, Daf Chof Tes. We begin the Yerushalmi on Daf Yud Amud Beis, 16 lines up from the bottom of the page, with the words of Rishu ben Levi. Rishu ben Levi, Havalei Kulis, Vahoin Levi B'Yachanina B'Yonathan, Mischoik Tachalufin, Vometan Goichama Atika, Amishte V'Lei Sakein. Rishu ben Levi had the intestinal disease called Kulis, and Yachanina B'Yonathan instructed him that he's permitted to grind Tachalufin, put it into old wine and drink it, rather than endanger himself by waiting until after Shabbos. Ba'aburei havalei bala, asa chad v'lachashlei v'inshim. Rav Shimon Levi's grandson was afflicted with bela, a disease of the throat that prevents eating and drinking, and a person came and whispered an incantation on the affected place, and it was healed. Minafak, when the patient left, amalei, Rav Shimon Levi asked the man, my amasolai, he asked him what he'd whispered. Amalei lemilith palan, and he answered he said a name of a certain idolatry. Amma mahavalei, Rabbi responded, it would have been better for him, his grandson, to die rather than to use such a name to heal him. And it was the Pasuk in Koheles, in Perek Yud Pasuk Hei, like an error that goes out from the ruler, meaning that his grandson died. Rabbi Yaakov, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says that one can do any prohibition to save a life except for idolatry, illicit relations, and bloodshed. Rabbi Pinchas boy ad kadoin kashamalai haba li alim avodazar veveilai. The question Rabbi Pinchas asked, the prohibition to use idolatry applies only if the patient asked to be brought leaves from a tree of idol worship because of the concern he might be drawn off to idolatry. But if he merely asked for leaves and what was brought to him was from a tree of idol worship, then is it permitted? Yishmanim in ador of acha havalei tsamal muin aisenle min zachusei dedoi vlei ishta aisen rav yona veishtiu. The answer is that from Ro'acha had a fever and needed to drink. They brought him water from a spring of idolatry called Doi, and he didn't drink it, and they brought it to Rabbi Yona, and he did drink it. Abba Mimana, Ilu Hava Rabbi Yona, Abba Yadam Man Havas, Lai Hava Shasi. Rabbi Mana says if Rabbi Yona would have known from where it came, he also would not have drunk it. Amor of Hanazosimeris, Shein Miswapim Megillah Arayis. Rabbi Mana says it's clear from the following Baisa that one may not use illicit relations for healing. So what was Rabbi Yaakov teaching from Rabbi Yochanan? The Tani, because the Brisa says Shabbos, Hutra Michlala, Namu Rosalei Hutra Michlala. Shabbos Shehutra Michlala, Lailis Rapois. The Brisa says, the Pasuk says about the obligation to bring a sin offering, it says in Vayikra, in Perek Dalad Pasuk Chav Zayin, by his committing one of the commandments of Hashem, which may not be committed. The case of a betrothed young woman was not an exception to that general rule, but Shabbos was made as an exception in certain cases where it's overridden. So wasn't it made an exception to allow healing on Shabbos, which does not apply to a betrothed young woman? With the Kavasar, now Marasa, Lai Hutra, meaning that in the case of the betrothed young woman, meaning all cases of illicit relations, it was not permitted even for healing. V'loi Soif Davar, Sha'ama Lai, Havei Lai Eshes Ish, Ela Afila Lishmai Eskoila, Ka'adar, Chad Bar Nash, Rachem Isa B'yemei, Duvloza, V'sakan, Asan Chalun Luvloza, Maush, Te'avo Koimei, V'ichai, Amalain Yamus V'leikain, Maush, Yishma Kala, V'ichai, Amalain Yamus V'leikain. And don't you think that this prohibition only applies to actual adulterous relations with a married woman, as in even to hear her voice for healing would be prohibited? Such a case occurred in the days of Rabbi Elazar, that a man loved a certain woman and he became so lovesick that his life was in danger. He told him to at least allow her to pass in front of him and it will save him. The Chachamim refused, saying it's better to die than to do this. He then asked them to allow him to listen to her voice and it will save him, and they also said that it's better that he die rather than do this. Ma havas Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman, chadama ishes ish havei, v'chadama panuya. And who was this lady? Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi and Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman disagree. One said that she was married, and one said that she was single. Mandama ishes ish nicha, mandama panuya, v'ha bar kocha nagwa, rachem itza, b'yeme de Rabbi Elazar, v'saken, v'sharilei. It's understandable that she should be prohibited if she was married, but if she was single, why couldn't he just marry her? Wasn't bar Kocha Nagra lovesick for a certain woman in the days of Rabbi, and Rabbi permitted him to marry her? And the Gemara answers, Kan Beishes Ish, Kan Bepnuya, rather it must be that Rabbi only permitted it if she was single, but not if she was married. I feel a tamer Kan Bekan Bepnuya, Tipatash and Asan Bar Ad Shehi Eishes Ish. Alternatively, it could be that even in both cases were with a single woman, but he prohibited it when the man had already set his eyes on her when her husband was still alive and the husband then later died. If the boy Mema, Isa Ruba Havas Vle Havas Mashmale Vachamada Havas Tahavsa Ma'aved Be Isa Havas Ma'aved Begain Kain Lo Sharali. Some answer that the single woman was an important lady who would not agree to marry this man, therefore anything that she would do for his healing, even just speaking to her, was thereby prohibited. And the Gemara asks the question, from the mission we're about to see, we learn that one may not spill blood to save a life. So what was Rabbi Yaakov teaching us from Rabbi Yochanan earlier? The Tanina, because the mission says in Arlois, Taman, over there, Yatsa Rubai, Ein Noigimbai, Bechule. Chashinan Shla Yomus, She'ein Doicha Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. If a woman is having difficulty in childbirth, they may cut out the fetus while still inside the mother to save the mother's life. But as soon as most of the fetus's head has come out, they may not kill it, because one does not push away a soul for another soul, and this clearly teaches that one cannot spill one person's blood to save another person. The answer is that Mishnah only teaches that actually killing a person will be prohibited, but Rabbi Yaakov taught that even if a person is threatened with death if he does not rob someone, he may not do so because it's likely that the victim will fight back and might get killed. Akum ba'akum, akum b'yisrael chayev, yisrael ba'akum potter. The Bible says if an idolater told an idolater to kill a Jew on pain of death, the second one was liable to the death penalty, even though it was against his will. If an idolater told a Jew to kill another idolater on the pain of death, then it's prohibited for the Jew to kill him, but if he did, he would be exempt from the death penalty. Rav Chista asked the question, if a child is pursuing an adult to kill him, is it permitted to kill the child? Or perhaps it's prohibited because the child will be exempt from punishment by Beis Din anyway. We answer from the Mishnah in Olos that we had, that as soon as most of the fetus's head has come out, it says it's prohibited to kill it to save the mother, even though the baby is, so to speak, pursuing the mother by endangering her life. Rabbi Yossi bar Bun, b'shem Rabbi Levi, shniyehi taman, d'lo noida mi hoyoges mi. The Rabbi Yossi bar Bun, quoting Rabbi Levi, rejected that. He said, no, there, both are in danger, and it's unclear who is the actual pursuer. And the question, therefore, is not answered. Maisa b'loza ben Dama Shenoshchoy Nochash Uba Yaakov Ish Kfar Sama Lopoiso. There was a story of Elazar ben Dama, who was a nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, who was bitten by a snake, and Yaakov of Kfar Sama, who was a heretic, came to heal him using a name of idolatry. Amolei Rabbi Yishmael Yata Rashai ben Dama. Rabbi Yishmael said to Yaakov, I don't allow it. Amolei Ani Avi Raya Shiropeini Lehispik Lavi Raya Ad Shemis. Elazar ben Dama said to Rabbi Yishmael, I'll bring you a proof that it's permitted, and he died before he had a chance to bring the proof. Rabbi Shmuel said to Elazar, fortunate are you, Ben Dama, that you left this world in peace, and you didn't breach the fences of the Chazal to fulfill that which he says in Koheles, in Perek Yud Pasuk Ches, one who breaches the fence will be bitten by a snake. The question is, but wasn't he bitten by a snake? It means, no, that he will not be bitten by the accusing angel on the day of judgment in the future. The question is, which proof could Elazar have brought? The answer is, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Pek Yudches Pasuk Hei, that a man shall do and live by them, but he doesn't need to die to keep a mitzvah. A new din, one who cuts the hair of an idolater may cut until he reaches close to his blueth, which is his ponytail, which is left long to serve the idol. When he reaches close to his blueth, he should withdraw his hand in order not to improve the blueth. One who has his hair cut by an idolater should watch him through a mirror, but if a kuti was doing his haircut, there's no need for the mirror. They permitted the members of the house of Rebbe to use a mirror because they needed to appear respectable in the eyes of the authorities. They permitted three things for the house of Rebbe: that they could use a mirror, they could leave a ponytail at the back of their hair, and they could teach their sons Greek. Since they were close to the government, if they appeared more like the Gentiles, they would be more influential and be able to save the Jews from the evil decrees. There was once a convert who used to be a barber and a stargazer. He had seen in the stars that the Jews would spill his blood. He thought that they would kill him, and so he began to hate them. And in fact, it was referring to their circumcising him. Later, after he converted, when a Jew would come for a haircut, he would actually kill him. Kaman kato v'blaza b'yosi ama shmoinim. How many Jews did he kill? Rav Lazar bar Yofi said 80. Rav Yossi bar Bun said 300 people. And in the end, they prayed for him that he return to his ways of acting like an idolater so that people would know to avoid him. Tani, we learned in the Baisa Nochri, Shemoiches, Sforim, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, Ein Leichem Emenu. If a Gentile is selling Torah scrolls, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, don't buy from him because perhaps they weren't written properly. Vatani, Masa Benochri, Echad, Besidan, Chaya, Moiches, Sforim, Tefillin, and Mezuzos, Uba Masa Lifnei Chachomim, Vamu, Mutter, Likach Memenu. The question we have is that the Baisa says that once there was a Gentile selling these type of things, and the Chachomim ruled that it's permitted to buy them from him. The answer of Shmuel bar Nathan says in the name of Rabbi Chama bar Chanina is that it was a convert there who returned to his old ways from fear of the Gentiles, but he was still trusted to provide kosher items. Then we come to the Mishnah. Eile drawim shel nochrim asurim b'isurim isurano hayayin v'chomet shel nochrim shayim etchilas hayayin v'cheres adrayini v'ayuos levuvim. The following things of idolatry are prohibited for a Jew even to derive benefit: the wine, vinegar that was originally wine, hadrian pottery, which was they would produce clay kneaded with wine, and then later they could take the clay with them out to war, and whenever they wanted to drink wine, they would soak the clay in water and produce diluted wine. And animal skins also that are pierced at the heart, because idolaters will remove the heart with its skin from the animal when it was still alive. All these things are prohibited even to derive benefit. Says, when the hole is round, it's prohibited, but when it's a straight line, it's permitted. Rabbi Kiva says, if meat was brought to a temple of idolatry, it's permitted. If it was being taken out of there, it's prohibited because it had already been presented as a gift to the idol. It's prohibited to do business with those going to a temple of idolatry, but it's permitted with those who are returning. And the Gemara says, "Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, hava amar masayk mar chad, ein b'hem b'shem giloi." Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman, quoting Rabbi Shua ben Levi, said that sweet means heavily boiled wine, wine cooked with bitter herbs, and wine mixed with spices to make it sharp. In those cases, there is no prohibition against drinking them if they were left uncovered overnight. Rabbi Simon b'shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, achad v'amar v'masayk ein b'hem b'shem giloi, v'lo b'shem yain nesach. Rabbi Simon, quoting Rabbi Shua ben Levi, says there's also no problem of yain nesach in these cases. I mean, there's no concern that an idolater offer them before an idol because they don't view such wine as worthy of being used. Reb Simon mefarsh achad kunditon hama sintatavan v'amosik ma'u chama mevashla. Reb Simon explained that the sharp wine means it's kunditon, which is wine mixed with spices and herbs, giving it a sharp taste. Bitter means it's pesintatvan, and sweet is wine cooked until it's sweet. Reb Shua ben Zaidel haya layayin mevuchal shenis yachel v'shus anochi. Shal le Rabbi Yanai be Rabbi Shmuel Amalei Kain Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish Masayk Ein Boi Lo Mishum Giloi Vlo Mishum Yayin Nesech. Rav Shua ben Zedel had cooked wine that he left in the property of an idolater. He asked Rabbi Yanai be Rabbi Shmuel about its status, and Rabbi Shmuel told him that Rav Shlaki said that for sweet wine there's no concern of leaving uncovered overnight and no concern for Yayin Nesech. Rabbi Yanai be Rabbi Shmuel Evish Salkun Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Shua be Rabbi Bun Bar Kahana Rabbi Hananya Chavei Hoin Du Rabbanon be Bar Kalti. Ashkenazi Rabbi Shua Bar Zeidel Yasev Tamon Amrei Hamar De Shmuasa Be Hamar De Uvda Mishal Lune. Rabbi Yanai ben Rabbi Shmuel once became sick. Rabbi Zeir Rabbi Shua Rabbi Bun Bar Kahana Rabbi Hananya, his rabbinical colleagues, went to visit him. They found that Rabbi Shua ben Zeidel was sitting there, and they said, "This is the source of the teaching of Reish Lakish, and that is the one to whom it was said. Is that true?" And Malayin Kainam Rav Shlokish, Masayk, Ein Boi Lo Mishum Giloi, Lo Mishum Yayin Nesech. Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shmuel said that Rav Shlokish did say that teaching. And Malay, Dilma Min Adar, Rav Shem Min Lokish, Dachain Achain. And the four Chachamim said perhaps Rav Shlokish was just considering saying it, but he didn't actually say it as a definitive ruling. And Malayin, Rabbi Yanai said to them, Lo Uvda, Basam Chon Eloi. No, he actually made it as the ruling, and it's relied upon. Minda Kamun, Rav Ila, Im Rav Bun, Bar Kahana, Amalei, Ilula, Da Asan Rachman, Shemasa, Volei Masnisa, He. After the sages left, then Rav Ila met Rav Bun, Bar Kahana, and said to him, "If you would not love to relate teachings of the Amoraim, couldn't you learn this from Abaisa?" Tani, Rav Chia taught Abaisa, saying like this, Mavushal Shanachri, Lamahu Asa, Shahim Etchilasai, Yayin Amar. Why did they prohibit cooked wine of idolaters? Because it had been regular wine beforehand. And this implies that if the idolater received it after it had been cooked, it would be permitted. Yossi says this can also be deduced from the Mishnah, wine and vinegar that were originally wine. The vinegar is prohibited because it was originally wine, but if it only came to the idolater after it was already vinegar, then it's not prohibited. Rabbi Ami Havale Ochin Amaloin Elule Chama Mevashla Didi Megali Lehaven Mishak Techoin. Rabbi Ami once had guests. He told them, if not that my cooked wine was accidentally left uncovered overnight, I would offer it to you to drink. And this shows that he held that the prohibition to drink wine left uncovered applied even to cooked wine. Amalei Rabbevai Eifen Va'anan Chesinan. Rabbevai said to Rabbi Ami, give it to me and I'll drink it. Amma Mandabai Mimas Yevil Yamas Goy Beisu. Rabbi Ami says, one who wishes to die can go home and die there, but I won't give guests such wine.